will extol my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him.
Just put this back in here. So as Mark alluded to, we're going to do things slightly differently this evening. I'm thinking, seeing as you've all been on focus and had such an exhausting weekend of seminars, of teaching, of all this stuff, you might want a bit more of a chill that evening service. I don't want to pile more teaching on top of what good teaching you've been having. Maybe it's time just to sort of relax and kind of focus on what you've been having this past week. And certainly if you look to Scripture, you can see actually that a lot of the time when there's a spiritual high, there's actually a call for calmness and quiet. So if you look at Elijah, for example, which we've been studying in home group, Elijah has this great showdown against the prophets of Baal. Huge triumph. Yahweh completely overcomes the prophets of Baal. They're destroyed. And Elijah has this great victory. But then he's called to this quietness where the Lord comes to him, reveals himself to him in silence. So there's that need for that quietness, that contemplation, that refocus. Jesus, when he's baptized by John, the Spirit, that the heavens split apart and the Spirit comes down as a dove, and God proclaims, "This is my Son, whom I love." And after that, Jesus goes into the wilderness for quiet contemplation, even temptation, as you read in Matthew. And then let's not forget the Israelites who, after the spiritual high of their exodus from Egypt, from the hand of slavery, they're taken to the promised land, they're taken into the desert rather, and they forget about God. They start worshipping this golden calf. Because after this spiritual high comes a kind of lethargy, a bit of a letdown, and they slip into former habits and let themselves down. So I'm thinking, after this spiritual high that we've had this past week, let's have a bit of contemplation, a bit of quiet prayer, and a bit of perhaps, for a clever word, introspection. So today we're going to do Psalm 34. So as Patrick kindly read out, it's written by David. So David wrote it as he fled from Abimelech. Now, you can read this in 1 Samuel chapter 21, and it's from verses 13 onwards. Maybe you can read it later, because I'm just going to summarize what happens. So David is the anointed king. In chapter 16, he's been declared king by Samuel, had that anointing. Before God, he is king of Israel. And Saul doesn't like this. Saul, the current king, chases him away, and there's a great deal of conflict between them. It's well worth a read. It's a very exciting passage of Scripture. Now, David flees, and he goes to this king, which in Samuel is called Achish, and in our passage today in Psalm 34 is called Abimelech. That's who's referred to as. And he's terrified, because in those days, kings were terrifying people. They had a lot of power, and a king coming into his kingdom, into his land, would be considered a threat. You think, actually, maybe this would be a good opportunity to take him away, to dispose of him. Be a good way of getting one up on Israel and stopping any future kind of wars or future rebellions. David's terrified. The anointed king of God is scared, and he pretends to be mad. It talks about how he leaves kind of marks on the door, and as he talks or as he goes around, he sort of dribbles down his face. Now, the dribbling down the face, it made me think, it made me cast my mind back to the elections, what, 3-4 months ago? And the leader, the kind of wannabe prime minister, there was a photo of him, a rather unflattering photo of him eating a bacon sandwich. Does anyone remember this? It was on the front page of The Sun, and it said, "How can this man run the country when he's made a pig's ear of this bacon sandwich?" Cue hilarity. Yeah. But there we are. So obviously he's just poor man's eating a sandwich, you know, dozens of photos a second, and they found a bad one. We've been doing wedding planning, and our photographer told us granny eating whatever she's going to be eating doesn't make a good photo, so we're going to do all the photos before the meal. So for Labour, this was a huge humiliation. It was kind of a defeat. People saying, "Well, he can't even eat a bacon sandwich. What's he going to do with the economy? What's he going to do with the housing crisis? What's he going to do with Europe and Greece and all this stuff?" Well, you can imagine this situation where David, the anointed king of God, goes to one of his rival kings, one of the people he wants to look powerful and impressive in front of, and he's there dribbling down his cheek. What's the king thinking? He's thinking, "Well, this guy's he's a joke. He can't run. He can't even control his bodily fluids, let alone a kingdom like Israel." I don't know if this is the case for any of you, but have you ever felt out of your depth? Have you ever felt people looking at you and thinking, "This guy doesn't belong here"? Mark alluded to the kind of the size in the chest area, but when I started professional rugby at Newcastle, I actually had a bit of an issue because my chest area was a little bit more pigeon-like than strong. And I remember turning up, being several stone underweight, and literally seeing people's faces, thinking, "This guy doesn't belong here. No, this isn't going to happen." Even coaches, my colleagues, the people I was going to be training with for that next year, just, "No, come off it, mate." Just that horrible sort of weight, that feeling, "What's he doing here?" I don't know if any of you felt this in work, perhaps at school, in university, just that horrible feeling of, "This person doesn't belong here." I hope you haven't, but if you have, I'm sure this is how David felt at this time, oppressed and as if he didn't belong there. And Jesus himself, just to kind of look forward, talking about control of bodily fluid, the blood pouring from Jesus' wrists, the people standing at the cross. This is going to save, this man's going to rebuild the temple. Can't even save himself from the cross. He saved so many others, he can't even save himself. That humiliation, that degradation, turned to joy in the resurrection. And we see here, David, he's been through this humiliation, this embarrassment in front of his rival king. And all he has to say is praise for our Lord Jesus. Just find the exact quote. "I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles." So despite that degradation, that embarrassment, the Lord saved him. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have a time for prayer. I've probably gone on a little bit longer than I should have for the intro, but we've got 5 prayer stations around. So about halfway through the psalm, there are some instructions. I'm just going to reread them, and perhaps we could get them on the screen as well. So, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So we're going to go kind of anti-clockwise round. So taste is over there. I've got some honey and some teaspoons. Just take a tiny taste of the honey, put it in your mouth, and you're going to think about the sweet things God has done in your life. Thank God for those sweet things. Pray for more sweet things, more blessings. And it also talks about refuge. So if there's anything you're scared of, anything you're worried about through the next week, pray against that. Pray for refuge from God. Fear the Lord. Now, this is an important phrase because actually fear came up in our discussion earlier. And fear has been mentioned a few times actually in this service so far. So it's kind of uncanny. So fear the Lord. It's a bit of a strange one. God is our loving Father. So why would we fear someone who loves us? What's that about? I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll be walking down the street minding my own business and I'll see two policemen. And suddenly, despite the fact that I'm just minding my own business, obviously done nothing wrong, suddenly straighten up a little bit. Oh dear, some people with some power. And I haven't driven since I passed my driving test, but I think many people probably have been in that situation where they're driving happily, maybe, you know, just chilling, and seen a police car, suddenly straighten up. Oh dear, everything right? Okay. Well, in the New Testament, we actually find when God reveals himself in power, you know, when he stills the storm on the lake, the disciples are scared. They see this power and they say, who is this man? Even when Jesus risen from the dead, the women that have gone to the empty tomb are afraid, they're terrified, they shake. So there's this fear before God, which is, it's almost reverence, it's almost respect. So it's not terror, but it's reverence and respect. Don't let that detract from God's love for you. And I'd just like to add there, just came to me, the Psalm 27, which begins, when you've got God on your side, the Lord Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, the one who does countless miracles, raised Jesus from the dead, brought you to new life, who are you going to fear? When he's on your side, who are you going to fear? If you're going to fear anyone, fear God. Don't fear anyone else. So, come my children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So, that's the station over there. There's a sort of cross on the font. I was thinking we could maybe stand further back and just sort of approach it gently, maybe sitting in different seats. Approach the font and just pray if God has any teaching for you, any words for other people. Just pray for that at that station. Keep your tongue from evil. The tongue, it can be very dangerous. We're going to pray that our tongues are going to speak blessings to others, not kind of any, not curses or anything like that. Pray for your tongues, pray for control over them, pray that they'll speak blessings in the coming week. Turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. This can be, it might be a difficult one for some people. If there's any issues here, anything people would like to talk about, please, you know, I'll be floating around, definitely one of the leadership, please talk to them. But I know that I've been in these situations where we've done these kind of interactive prayer events, and there have been things that have been really clearly on my mind and I know I've been messing up on. And I've kind of been too afraid to write them down. So, oh, what if somebody sees, I'll pray that I'll love God more or something a bit generic. Please just don't be afraid. You can fold it up, put it in there. I'm literally, as soon as we're done, I'm going to throw them all away. Just please really just use that time just to look into yourself, look into your soul, your relationship before God, and really think about where you are with regards to sin. And as always, there are people on hand to pray for you. God loves you, and God will deliver you from that. So, you can start in any order. So, maybe it'd be good to start on the sin one and go around, or, you know, you could start chronologically over with the honey and go around. But that's what we're going to do. It's going to be quite relaxed. We'll go 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll close up. So, please make your way to whichever station you'd like. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. As David says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. Thanks be to God.